Welcome to Yada USA. Tom?
Rick, how are you?
Joe?
Thank you so much for having us.
What a pleasure. Yeah. What a pleasure. So this is kind of fun because both you guys are part of the USSA, United States Super Yacht Association Board. But before we go down that rabbit hole, real quick, I wanted to give you each an opportunity to just introduce yourselves a little bit and tell us a little bit about your business. And Joe, why don't you go first?
Yeah, thank you so much, Rick, for having us. Tom? Yeah, my name is Joe Dargavage, and I'm the founding partner of United Island and Yacht. We are a yacht agency based in Fort Lauderdale. And for those who don't know what a yacht agency is, in the brokerage business, we're not in the charter business.
Not management?
No, management. We're in the agency business. We handle the movement and clearance of yachts from around the world as they come into our region. Our region happened to be southeastern United States, Puerto Rico, and the Bahamas. And we start with their customs, their immigration, their visa programs, and then we move on to ancillary concierge services after that. And we've been in business since 2017, myself and my business partner, Laura Garcia. And we're honored to be here in Savannah.
All right. Thanks, Joe. That's a nice quick introduction and a good overview of what you do. Tom, you and I go back a ways. Let's tell us a little bit about EYS, Engineered Yacht Solutions.
Well, thanks for having us here today, Rick. Real pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So Engineered Yacht Solutions, we're 10 years old. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary last month.
Congratulations.
We're a metal fabrication, welding, and plumbing and pipe fitting company based in South Florida with a base in Fort Lauderdale and Lauderdale Marine Center. And we have a base in Palm Beach, and we have another service center up here in Savannah Yacht Center. And we've got about 22, 23 full-time staff in Savannah. We've got about 10 in Palm Beach, and we've got about 50 or 60 in Fort Lauderdale. So we've got about 75, 80 full-time staff in the three locations. And most of our business is metal fabrication, welding, or plumbing and pipe fitting. And we do a bunch of stuff in between. And really, we're just centered around service and good customer service and building a customer base. And I preach twice a year for 20 years. That's kind of our goal with our customers. It's the long-term goal, so we can create careers for our guys and create a base for customers to come to twice a year for 20 years. So we're happy to be here in Savannah and promote Savannah.
So here we are in Savannah. Look at that beautiful cupola behind me. Yeah. And for those who are going to watch this podcast, you're going to see some incredible drone footage that my son Tristan took earlier. But you guys both touched on something I think is really important already before we even go down the conversation about the USSA, and that is, this is an industry that employs a lot of people, and it's spread out. It's not geographically centered. It's, it's a little bit of everywhere in the maritime space. And so I think it's really important. I'd like to point that out to those who pay attention, listen, that this is an industry of jobs, and these are jobs that are not minimum wage type jobs, but these are career development type of vocational jobs that are sometimes overlooked, and I think it's important as an industry we talk about that when we have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
But that's not specifically why we're here today. We're in Savannah, Georgia, for a gathering of the USSA. Members are showing up in a few minutes when we finish this conversation. There's going to be a reception here and then a nice dinner. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what the rest of this week's going to look like? It'd be a fun way to kind of start this conversation off, I think.
Absolutely. So the USSA, or the U.S. Super Yacht Association, has been founded on the premise that we showcase our members and the regions that our members do business. And we've been doing that for many years. And as we move into 2025, we're really broadening how we've done that in the past. And Savannah is the first stop on a tour, if you will, to showcase other locations. But we picked Savannah because the southeastern United States is really growing when it comes to the yachting industry, and especially the super yacht industry. It was something that you didn't really speak of in the past, meaning that not a lot of vessels came this way. And a lot of our larger vessels didn't necessarily venture up the East Coast. And when we speak of Savannah, we can't just think of marina space or dockage. It's actually become very well known, and I'll let Tom get into that more, but for the services that can be provided in the Savannah market. It is founded on a great river system that comes in and was very pliable during wartime especially during World War II. So for those of us in the industry, we like to hear that because yes. we know it's deep water.
Yes.
And that deep water boats can get in. And so the marina, we're going to be visiting the 70 participants and USSA members that are attending this week. We'll be visiting three locations. We'll be visiting the Safe Harbor Savannah Yacht Center, which is a boatyard. We'll be visiting Thunderbolt Marina, another boatyard facility. And then the brand new IGY Marina that just opened this past month. And so we're real excited to be here.
Yeah, yeah, no, you should be. I think it's an amazing event. I'm proud and pleased to be part of it and to kind of create a little bit of a voice for everybody while we're here this week. Tom, I know you have infrastructure here. You've got facility and employees. And so Savannah's become a second home to you, so to speak.
Yeah, it has. I'm up here every month, at least once a month, visiting the team. We've been lucky enough, so our team is comprised of about 23 technicians, but it started off with guys that were trained in our South Florida facility that knew me, that were trusted, and moved up here for cost of living, or, you know, one guy moved up with his son because he needed more affordable housing. Some of the guys were younger guys that just wanted to get out of South Florida and have a bit of a slower paced life. And one guy lives on 5 acres, 45 minutes outside of town. So the guys from South Florida came up, and that's really been key to our success up here. It's guys that I knew, trusted, and trained in South Florida that have moved up to Savannah, and it's allowed us to garner the South Florida mentality of yacht repair and then bring in some local guys and gals to join the team and train them up as well. So yeah, it's Savannah is a wonderful town. It's a little slower paced than what we're used to in South Florida. And so we kind of talk about bringing the South Florida mentality to Savannah, because down there we're running 100 miles an hour all day long. And that's just kind of how you got to get things done on the yachts for the most part. And that's just not the mentality up here. So we've been lucky enough to transplant some of our guys from down south to come up here to train the local guys. And so now we've got 20 something people up here. And yeah, it's been, I think we've had shop space up here for 4 years. We've been coming and going from up to Savannah for 5 or 6 years, and we've been permanent here for probably 4 years. And it started off with a couple of guys, and now there's 20 something, and you know, more growth to come for sure.
Well, I find that fascinating and encouraging. The conversations I was privy to back before Safe Harbor's acquired the Savannah Yachting Center, and legacy people such as Jim Barillas and George Whitehouse and others who were involved in building out the facility, it was part of the challenge finding the local talent, and people were having to transplant and travel up. And the question was always asked, is it going to make sense? Are we going to be able to sustain the work with the local resources? And it sounds like between local resources and people willing to relocate, that is happening.
It was a risk. But we got lucky as well with the guys coming up from down south. We just had enough people that wanted to move. And there is a lot of commercial ship repair people up here. There's not a lot of yacht repair people, but there is a lot of commercial ship repair people. So people know how to plumb and weld and do those things, but training them into yacht repair has been a challenge. But it's been a good challenge, and it's working out for us so far.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What about the whole concept of getting an owner or a captain to say, yeah, let's go to Savannah instead of let's go to Palm Beach and do it at Rybovich, or let's go to, you know, Dania Point and do it at Directors or whatever that looks like.
You know, in our business at United Island Yacht, so we have locations in Fort Lauderdale, at Rybovich in Palm Beach, in San Juan, Nassau, and now here in Savannah. And what we've come to find is we start working with the yachts, you know, many months before they arrive. And as they start to seek out their locations and start picking project managers and talking to the likes of Tom, we have found that a number of vessels, one, the crew really likes Savannah, okay? There's a lot to do.
Right.
It's the cost is sometimes is conducive for maybe what they want to do. And then a lot of times the weight factor. Our yards in South Florida are very busy. And so a owner may get the response from one of our 5 or 6 big yards that it's going to take 6 months, 8 months, but they may be able to reach out up here in Savannah and they may say 2 months, 3 months. And so that has really worked in their favor here in Savannah. And I think you add, a lot of it's education as well. You know, a lot of people just don't know where Savannah, you know, you're talking about people who are coming from Europe or vessels, and a lot of times it's not necessarily the owners, a lot of times it's the captains, and they haven't been to Savannah. And
fear of the unknown.
This is
really all about. It's educating these captains and crew to let them know that there is resources up here, there is facilities, and we can't compete with South Florida, and we can't compete with Europe. Come to Savannah, and really, once you get here, it's like,
well, and that's why we're here this week. What a gorgeous week, too. Look at this weather we've got and this opportunity to kind of come together as an industry.
And let me just add one last thing. I don't hate to go back this week, but deep water, Tom will tell you, it's about deep water all day long.
Yeah.
They've got water here in Savannah that we don't even wish we had down in South Florida.
Good
and
point.
The facilities here, you know, the boats are just getting bigger. And so South Florida is kind of tapped out at a certain length of vessel or size of vessel. And Savannah, you can just go bigger. And we really have an opportunity in Savannah to compete with some of the bigger shipyards in Europe when it comes to the 70, 80, 90, 100-meter vessels that we've never been able to touch in the United States before. Now we're having a real opportunity to capture some of that refit work from Europe and being able to do it here.
And I don't want you to think for a minute, Rick, when we speak this way, it's about taking anything from South Florida. Almost every large boatyard owner in South Florida is also looking up this way. You know, they get it.
This
is an extension of South Florida. This is the growth of that market. Well, not taking from it.
Right.
Not, yeah.
Well, if you look at our industry in the big picture, and I was reading a report this morning in my hotel room that I thought was really fascinating. They're predicting that by, let me get this right, 2040, we're going to double our fleet of yachts. And try to get your head around what that really means, because we don't have, what best I can tell, we don't have the opportunity to double our waterfront frontage. So it has to be done smarter. It has to be done more collaboratively. And we need to find the new spaces to move into if you're going to support that kind of growth.
Yeah, and it's not always easy being first. Let's take a look at the directors in Port St. Lucie.
Right.
They stepped up. They went first. A lot of people were, is it going to work? Let me tell you, it's going to work. It's just going to take a little bit of, and as Tom said, it's going to take people to think, oh, you know what? Maybe that's not such a bad place to move my family.
Right.
And the welder says, you know what? Yeah, you know what? That's a great opportunity to get in there early. And that just like other, that will grow and that will work.
Right.
It's just a matter of time.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned this, Joe, because this is something that I do talk about and has come into the conversation in previous podcasts. By the way, love this historic Savannah when you get the chiming bells. And
100%.
You don't find that most places that I'm traveling to, except for Amsterdam, maybe. That was the last time I think I heard the bells.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, talking about transport, like think about when Rodovich was started and how everybody thought driving an hour away was the worst thing.
Oh,
in the
my
world.
Goodness.
It was talked about so much that tradesmen were not going to battle 95. To go up to Palm Beach Riviera Beach.
Yep.
It was talked about for years.
Oh, yeah.
This is just an extension of, it's just an extension of South Florida.
Exactly true. And when we talk about the value of the USSA, and that's where my gratitude was coming your way about bringing up Director Shipyard. Paul and his team took a big risk and made a big decision to come into Fort Pierce and start developing that area. And I'd go on the record again to say that for that program to be successful, he needs the industry to help him up. You know, we as an industry need to look at that and say, hey, there's deep water, the ability to bring in bigger boats. For that area to be successful, like Savannah is going to be successful, you need to build the infrastructure, you need to have trades, you need to have affordable housing. I've noticed that downtown area is gentrifying. It's much nicer than it once was. And so these are how we're going to grow our yachting industry in the United States, my opinion, by having viable infrastructure for these boats. But we're in Savannah now, so we're talking about Savannah. And one of the things I noticed is IGY has an amazing marina right across the river here.
That is correct. They're face dock. Don't quote me on this, and we'll get with Gilly tomorrow, but I think it is either right at 1,000 feet or a little over 1,000 feet.
I think it's close to 1,200.
Yeah, it is amazing.
I was told 1,200.
Once again, there you go. And once again, deep water.
Deep water.
Yeah.
So how many 100-meter boats can you put? I think that's at least three, possibly four, if you squeeze them in there, right?
And not to go back, just one last thing on that deep water, how important it is. And it's almost like a rebirth as well. of some of these locations. A number of the locations we're talking about were used in other industries. Port St. Lucie was used in the produce industry, and the ships had to come in into Florida. Savannah was a military situation.
Yep.
And let's not forget the Gulf side that's really going to grow in this realm that we're talking about. And they're going to be utilizing a lot of the old oil rig boats that were being produced in that area are going to be some great locations for servicing yachts.
That's right.
And they all have that same thing. Large areas to work in. And
deep water. Right. And affordable infrastructure. Yeah. You know, the first maritime business I set up in Largo, Florida. And back in the 80s when I did that, that's where I grew up. And it was affordable housing, great business culture. You could get employees to stay with you for a long time. And it was in the middle of everything, right? So these are the kinds of things we're looking for. And I think Savannah offers all of that from what I can tell. You've got deep water.
And Tom, so at Safe Harbor, I think they almost call it unlimited, but what's the largest vessel they've had at Safe Harbor? I think it's pretty large, if I'm not mistaken.
It's over 100 meters for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the graving dock is 400 meters.
They have, once again, a system that they can take. I want to say vessels almost up to 400 feet on the dry.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's horsepower. You know, that gives you know, the options to take almost any of the boats we're seeing being built in Europe right now, bring them over here, get them out of the water, clean them up, fix them, whatever needs to be done. And that's the
challenge for us over here.
Yeah.
It's pulling some of those yachts that are so used to going to Europe and getting the repairs done over there. So, holding them away from Europe and us working collaboratively in the U.S. Superyacht Association with other organizations to somehow pull those boats out of Europe and bring them, because most of those yachts are American owned. I mean, most of the yachts in the world, a bigger percentage of them are American owned yachts.
The highest percentage of super yachts are, I think, double they are owned by Americans.
Well, I can tell you from just conversations I've had with FedShip, somewhere between 64-65% of their clients are American. Damon used basically all of the offshore support or yacht support vessels. 74% are American owned. Person, of course, they don't build as many boats, but according to Michael Bremen, any given time could be somewhere between 60-75% of Lursen's owners are American. So you look at I haven't gone to Italy yet, and the vast proportion of American owners there.
Mangusta sales guy told me at the Palm Beach Boat Show that 80% of every Mangusta that's built, 80% is sold in America.
So there you go. So you know, the American yachtsman is highly influential worldwide in what happens. And this is where the United States Super Yacht Association connects with American yachtsmen, connects with American businesses, not at the expense of the European. And I've always said a rising tide floats all ships. And I believe that in our industry worldwide, that's very relevant. But I think it's important to understand what we have here and how important it is to preserve what we have. I've watched our industry over the last four decades shrink in yacht repair and yacht manufacturing a lot. You know, Tom, when I got into this business in the 80s, there was, by my count, over 45 shipyards in North America building cruiser vessels, 80 foot and larger. Right now, I think there's arguably less than 10 for sure.
Single digits. Huh?
Yeah, single digits. So that's sad. And yet, I think there's opportunity to see a reversal of that. I don't think it'll ever go back to where it was once because of the economic pressures that exist that make that almost impossible. But it would be exciting to see more of that happen. And if we can keep these boats, Joe, from going on their own bottom back across to the pond to, you know, get the special surveys done, to get the paintwork done, to get the basic repairs done, if they can stay here and can be encouraged to come here, then our industry rises on that.
Yeah, and what people have to realize too is that not only is it affecting the Toms of the world and engineering yacht solutions and the painters and the people in the boat, you're affecting the entire community. When a vessel makes the decision to come from Europe to America, it's usually a 6-month decision because they're not going to head back to the next season.
No.
So it's a 6 months. So that decision to come here is affecting their shopping, their where they're staying, the crew rentals, the car rentals. the provisioning, you know, going to the movie theater, you know, whatever it might be that they're doing while they're here.
Right.
And it's a lot of stuff they're doing while they're here.
Right.
And that's where it really comes full circle about affecting our industry as a whole and the communities that those industries go into in our region. We don't like to even use the word just South Florida anymore. It's a regional thing. We want them to come to our region. We get them to our region, they stay in our region.
That's right.
Now, they may come to Fort Lauderdale, but go to Savannah, but there's a good chance they may come back to Fort Lauderdale before they go back to Europe somewhere.
Right, right, right.
That's our region.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, whether they're in private operation or charter operation, anytime these boats pulls into a port anywhere, it's an economic machine. Mm-hmm. And that's the part so few people really understand or respect about our yachting industry is it's just not the purchase of the boat or the construction of the boat. It is a constant, continual transfer of wealth from the hyper-wealthy into our society, into our businesses. And our businesses employ people at living wages and pay benefits and health insurance and all of that. So, you know, it's across the board. It's a real win.
On a daily basis in South Florida, I'll go into a store or anything, and the minute they know that I'm in the yachting industry, they're like, wow, we get a lot of yacht crew for that. And, you know, I was just recently in a sneaker store, a running store. I was recently in a florist. And both of those people are like, wow, we love the yachting industry. We cater to them all day long.
Right.
And people don't always think about, you know, those types of businesses. It's a big deal.
But that's so true. And that repeats in every port that you go to, that there's facilities like what IGY has just built across the way here and the ability to, you know, service and support so many white boats at a given time. I think that's big. Something that's come on the table somewhat recently in the last 100 days, concerns about immigration and yacht crew. And, you know, in conversations I've had, I've basically said, hey, nothing's really changed other than there's probably more awareness and enforcement, but the rules haven't changed necessarily. But there's a lot of concerns, and people listening to the show have with me voiced some of those concerns. What do you guys see, or what, Joe, particularly, I think you touch in that space
more than most. Yeah, not, you know, in Delhi, have Tom jump in here because he deals with, but that is what we do for a living. That's our world for sure. That is our number one thing, is clearance of yachts.
Right.
And that means it is our job to get that yacht and their crew safely and legally checked into America. And so have there been a lot of questions on it? There is nothing has changed. Nothing. Okay. There's no new immigration laws. There are no new customs laws. And let's always speak in the proper terms. Customs is the yacht. Okay. It's the yacht. It's the clearance of the yacht into America. It's making sure the boat is following everything that happens when they're coming in, as including their Coast Guard regulations, their agriculture regulations, as well as their port regulations.
Right.
That's the yacht. Immigration is the people, the crew.
That's the visa issues and all of that.
And so nothing has changed. There have been some miscommunications recently, and I'm not going to get into that because that was already cleared up. But now, that being said, is there a environment, and this happens in countries all over the world, is there an environment to be a little stricter on it right now? Yes. And are they being stricter on the laws that have always been in place?
Yes.
But for the captain, I always say the captain, and the crew of that captain that are doing it 100% the right and legal way, they are more than welcome by every immigration and every custom officer in America to come to America.
Perfect.
And I will go on record to say that.
Good. I've heard nothing that's contrary to that. Something that I have listen to, and there's been conversations about, is once the boat comes in the shipyard, and it's interesting, I shared with the board a couple weeks ago an advertisement from a Dutch shipyard basically saying, hey, bring your boat over here because your crew can work in our yard, because there's a misconception, I think, about what crew can and can't do when the boat comes into the shipyard.
Well, once again, that, and we might as well be honest about it, that stems from some miscommunication I was giving at a recent boat show. That, now, I must give kudos to that Dutch boat.
Yeah, me too.
Because you know what? He jumped on something so quickly that even though it was wrong, and even though we sent him a correction, I think he even corrected it.
He still got the message out.
I think he was having fun with it. Yes. And why not? Yeah. We would probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having
I actually know those guys in that shipyard.
And nothing they're wrong with kind of being like a little comical every now and then.
Right.
But that's all that was comical. Okay. What's neat about our industry, we have some amazing associations. So the minute some misinformation got out there, we rallied.
Right.
The Marine Industry Association of South Florida, especially Patience Cone, the United States Super Yacht Association, to include our entire board.
Yep.
Got together with the Customs and Border Patrol in South Florida. So much so that we had held a very high level meeting, of which I had a seat at that table, with a number of immigration attorneys, a number of maritime attorneys, a number of leaders in the industry, including from Safe Harbor, and no less than 15 customs agents, including another 5 that were on the widescreen in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
All who clarified that nothing has changed in the boatyards. It remains that foreign yacht crew who are here legally, that would be on a B-1, B-2 visa, stamped in on a B-1.
On a B-1, yes.
Okay. They are allowed to work on that boat, and they're allowed to be on that boat. What they're not allowed to do, and this goes all the way back to the 1930s in the Jones Act, is that they cannot have skilled or labored positions while on that boat, working in the boatyard. And what that means is, one of the crew members are not gonna take one of Tom's people's jobs, welding.
Right.
One of the crew members aren't gonna be out there taking someone from Pinmar's job, painting the boat. Can a crew member still be there cleaning and doing their daily duties and the chef be good? Absolutely. Nothing has changed. That has been the rule last week, last year, 10 years ago.
Yes, that's been my understanding as well, but it's so easy in this time to get things confused, yeah, or to stir the pot a little bit to make things sound confusing.
I was gonna say, with social media and misinformation, it's so easy to get everything mixed up. And really, we lean on, in the association, we lean on Joe a lot because he's kind of a resident B1, B2 expert being in the industry he is. And it's not really my world and I don't know a lot about it, but he was able to clarify a lot for us, and he was in the high level meetings and he understood what was going on. And so when Joe said, nothing's changed, guys, you gotta just keep
going. But Tom is in the business of hiring lots of people.
Yes, he is.
Who have great jobs.
Yes.
And we want to protect those jobs too. There's nothing wrong with that.
No,
we've landed up in a day and age that we get blasted almost, and we say we want to protect those. Of course we want to protect those jobs. Those are great. Because without those jobs, we wouldn't even have the boatyard,
right,
for that yacht to even come here to America.
That's so true.
If everybody understands their role,
it makes sense.
We continue working great together.
It makes sense. It really does. And it's just when I think they say when it's foggy at the top, it's raining at the bottom. And I think that's part of it, is there was just a little lack of clarity. And Joe, I would thank you. I think you just in the last 10 minutes put some great clarity into the conversation that will be understood those who listen to this conversation. Thank you. Which is, again, I think why the USSA is a relevant and valuable organization. Full disclosure, I was a board member a number of years ago. My company, Nautical Structures, was one of the first founding members of the USSA. Proud to say that. I saw that as a real value when it was introduced to me as a organization. I know over the years it's taken some hits a little bit because of some lack of, not to say lack of vision, but nothing new happened until recently. And now we got a new board. I think we got a new direction. What's that look like? What do you guys see coming together in 2025 and with a reinvention of the organization to a certain extent?
Well, Tom is our vice chair. I'll let him speak first. We have the same train of thought on this, but I'll let, out of respect, but Tom.
I don't think anything was particularly wrong before. It was just time for a change within the association. And it was, a group thought that we wanted to kind of go in a slightly different direction and kind of get more of a national grip on the association and bring people from a national standpoint, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, Boston, New England, a Savannah, across the nation.
Right.
Get everybody involved because this is a U.S. Superyacht Association. This is countrywide. It's not just South Florida. And sometimes we get honed in on just South Florida, and really it's not just a South Florida thing. It's countrywide. And so I think Savannah is a perfect example of the reach of the association out of South Florida, and it's just going to continue to go. So, you know, I don't think anything was particularly wrong before. I think the board just wanted to be more involved and get it more of a group think going on things and work collaboratively to strengthen the association and broaden the association. And, you know, that's really what we're doing. We're just, you know, everything changes, and it doesn't mean that something was wrong before. Sometimes change is good.
And if I came across alluding that there was something wrong before, that wasn't the intent, because I think the organization's always been a strong organization with good vision. But I do accept and understand how every organization needs a bit of reinvention, and, you know, we move into what the next piece is going to look like. And with what's going on in our industry worldwide, we need to be, you know, partnering worldwide to a certain extent. But at the same time, I think we need to also pay attention to what's happening on our own shores to a certain extent to make sure
Just look at Marine Max and One Water and Safe Harbor and Suntec and, you know, IGY and everything that all those big, huge corporations have been doing the last 5 or 10 years. I mean, the industry as a whole is really changing, and we need to just shift with it and together.
And it continues to grow, and it'll grow with us or without us. So,
that's correct.
You know, I think it's important that we look at that. I was thrilled to be over in Amsterdam again last November to be there with the USSA and see members over there participating in the industry. I think there could be, my opinion, a big, larger footprint over there. I was really surprised when I saw the numbers of, you know, participants at METS, and the number of U.S. participants were remarkably small when you consider the size of our maritime industry here. You know, so that's a little self-criticism, perhaps, that we have some roads to travel yet to really get the reach that I think we could have.
Education is important, Rick, but it also shows us that we have lots more to grow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of us we're still at the very beginning of some of this. And that's the fun of it. We got a lot more to get, a lot more to do, and a lot more to grow. And just to finish up on what you were saying, and Tom was saying, is that we applaud, you know, the history of the USSA. We applaud the history of the board, and we most certainly applaud the history of all of our management teams throughout the past that have gotten us this far. And like Tom said, we're just, you know, it's just a new time to do some new and fun things, to go after some of these new markets and make sure that everybody understands that in the yacht, especially in the super yacht world, there's nowhere better than the United States.
Oh, no.
To not only come as a destination, but come and get work done.
Oh, yeah.
We're very proud of our craftsmanship and our tradesmen in America. Very proud.
Oh, no question.
And we're here today to promote that. And if anybody, or any doubt, that's what the USSA does not do. That is what we do.
No,
we promote American businesses. We have promote American yachting businesses. And don't get me wrong, we have lots of international partners in the USSA and a lot of international members.
And as we should.
And as we should.
It's a non-.
But our goal is to promote to them and to everybody else what we can do here in the United States.
That's right. Well, you mentioned earlier in this conversation, Finnmark. You know, they're down the road here. They've got the infrastructure and facility here. They've got the same down in Fort Lauderdale. And, you know,
that's why our foreign partners are so important, because many of them actually have strong interests here in the United States.
That's right.
And they have strong interests in us doing very well at our jobs as tradesmen.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And again, as it should be. I was at the USSA Super Yacht Summit, gosh, it seems like months ago. It was only last month in March, right before the day before the Palm Beach Boat Show started. I thought that came off very well. The panel conversations that were held that day, I thought were remarkable. I really enjoyed the conversations where the D.C. lobbyists were talking about, you know, what's changing up in D.C. and the, you know, the strength that's trying to be applied to the U.S. shipbuilding industry, I think is important. And I see that we have a role in that as a association to, you know, kind of help promote that and plug into that opportunity. So that's just recently an observation I can make about the value of what the USSA has brought to membership.
Yeah, you know, and we have, what's nice is we got the history of great companies like Thunderbolt. We haven't mentioned too much of that today, but that's one of the reasons, main reasons we're here, is that Savannah has a history that has been grown off of.
Yeah.
And, you know, Thunderbolt was one of the first, and we extend on that, and they continue to grow.
I love it.
Then, you know, it's just not about the boatyards, the marina side of things. you know, Pier 66.
Boy, brand new, what they've just done there, oh my gosh, it's amazing.
What Savannah is doing, what Safe Harbor is doing in Charleston, same thing. They're about to really do a nice expansion there. So our marina facilities and all the ancillary products that come along with a yacht planning their itinerary to be in the United States, whether it's all the way up the East Coast, up to Newport, right, or up the West Coast.
I was going to say,
see our friends on the West Coast.
We haven't talked about Seattle yet, or Portland, so or San Diego.
We will need to have a few of these podcasts for you.
Absolutely. No, I think it's fantastic. So what's next here this week? We're gonna wrap this up in a few minutes, and we're going to engage with the members that have come over. You said 70, roughly?
That's correct. And some excellent members. We've got CEOs, we've got executive directors, we've got upper-level management, sales directors. We've got an amazing group of people that represent really the who's who in yachting in this region that are here this week for not only a great tour of Thunderbolt, Savannah, Yacht Center, and IGY, but to spend time together to see how we can better the industry and do more for our clientele that are coming to America.
And that's what an association should do for its members.
It's a learning experience for all of us. And I'm really interested to find out what we can do up here as my small company, what we can do to make it more, you know, a better destination for these yachts to come to. And so I'm really interested to have some conversations with some people and figure out what I need to do to make it the destination for these yachts to go to. And I know the shipyards are thinking the same damn thing. It's like, what do we need to do to get these people here? You know, it's a great audience, and we're gonna have a great time showing them Savannah as a destination, and the shipyards and the marinas and just the area as a whole and the capabilities here. You know, the support is here, the repair facilities are here, the people are here, it's all here now. Maybe Savannah's gone through phases over 10, 20, 30 years where it was here and then it was gone. I think it's here now and I think it's here to stay. And I think we have a real opportunity to illustrate that to a great audience in the next couple of days.
Well, I agree. And I would say on the record that I think the association has done its membership a real solid. You know, it's what I sign up for when I pay my annual dues, is to have some value coming back to my business. And exactly what you've delivered here is a core group of key people that can talk about what this means to them, some new awareness they never had. And I dare say that there's going to be a lot of people listening to our conversation or watching our conversation that haven't previously considered Savannah. And hopefully we're able to open some ideas, get some conversations started, and deliver a message that says, if you've not been here, get on a plane or get on the road, come up here, take a look. I would tell you that the welcome that I've enjoyed coming into this town has always been warm. The opportunity's always been here. I've never left Savannah disappointed. And Discover Savannah's Yachting Center, not to confuse Savannah Yachting Center with Savannah being a yachting center. Careful there, Rick.
Yeah.
But really, this is a great place to come and really plug in. I was in Verge Yacht's new office earlier this morning, just walking distance down Bay Street here. Wow. Well,
what a great group they are, too.
That's a great
group. Anita has built an amazing team, and Tess and Nick are, I mean, they've helped so much put this together. Joe and I kind of started on the committee of the Savannah thing, and as soon as Anita and Tess and Nick got involved, Joe and I were kind of like,
let the professionals take over.
No doubt. No, they are. And I saw it. They don't even have the sign in front of the new facility. Yeah. It's brand new. It's gorgeous. It's got an upstairs roof like this has. Yeah. And
visionary. She really is.
Yeah.
She's good people.
So we're seeing tangible investment here with what you've done, Joe, with what Anita and their group have done there with Verge. It continues, and I just would kind of wrap this up by saying there's a reason these investments are being made. You know, come to Savannah, pay attention, and see if it doesn't make sense to, whether you're going to plant a flag here or just come up here to try to do a little business, I don't think you walk away from here very disappointed.
No, not at all. Savannah is a tourism destination at the end of the day. That's the biggest industry here, is history and tourism. And so when the yachts come, they get taken care of. And Southern hospitality is hard to beat. The restaurants are absolutely amazing. And there's a lot to offer in South Florida and other parts of the country, but there's
but
nothing
this is classic city.
This is American history, and the Southern hospitality There's nowhere else really like it.
It's fantastic. And again, I can't help but also just reiterate that if you are doing business in the United States in the yachting industry, if you are not a member of the USSA, the United States Superyacht Association, you should be. And I will tell you from my own perspective and my own experience, it's always delivered value. And this is an organization that is inclusive. And I would just conclude by saying that this USSA group, once you've kind of plugged into it, your takeaway, you get out of it and whatever you put in. That's true in any business, any social endeavor you do. But this organization, particularly if you plug into it and put some effort into it, feedback and the benefits you're going to reap are going to be significantly noticeable. So I congratulate you guys.
You know that we're not going to eclipse the European yacht repair market if we don't work collaboratively, you know, as an association and, you know, everybody working together to make America the priority and American yacht repair the priority for what we're doing or yacht building.
Right.
You know, we need to work together to do that. And sometimes Europe is a little bit better at that sometimes from a government standpoint, all the way down to the history and some of the large yacht repair, yacht building companies over there. They just sometimes do the collaborative stuff a little bit better and they get a little bit better help from the government sometimes. And I think what you mentioned in DC, you know, what Joe's working on, we can do better at that. And that's really what we want to do as an association is gather everybody, gather all the good thoughts. And we know that we can do anything better than anybody else.
When we put our mind to it. Yeah. You know, I tell the story. I was in Amsterdam. Well, I've traveled that city a lot. But most recently, I was there and I was invited to the Van Lent facility in Amsterdam. And they've got an amazing refit and build shed construction that just was mind-blowing. And then what the takeaway was is at the end of my tour of that facility, they pointed to the property just adjacent and then another piece of property across the river from them, just as we can point across the river to the IGY facility. And they said there's going to be a second and third of these built. And that's what, if I sit here as an advocate for the U.S. yachting industry, I would say that's the piece that we're missing that I hope that we can nurture and encourage and attract is that kind of investment. The investment to put in the infrastructure so the boats do come. That old Kevin Costner movie, if you build it, they will come. I think there's something to be said about that. And so, you know, I think in conclusion, the USSA has a mission and a voice. And hopefully we work as an industry to encourage investment in the United States. We build more infrastructure here for refit, whether it's in Savannah or Fort Pierce or Seattle or New Orleans, wherever it makes sense to, you know, to set up facility to support these boats. I think ultimately the payoff, the investment will have a benefit. So, gentlemen, again, I appreciate the hospitality. It's good to be here. Thank you very much for your time and the information that we've just shared. There's a lot of value to that. I hope you guys have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, Rick.
And thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Thank you for showcasing us, showcasing the USSA.
Absolutely.
And thank you for showcasing the yachting industry here in America on all your shows.
Well, we try our best. Rising tide floats all ships, right? So until the next time, I'm out of here.